ahead and turn in your copy of the scriptures to Psalm chapter 103. If you don't know where that is, just flip basically right to the middle of your Bible and you'll be really close to it. So today we are starting a brand new series called Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And that is in part because that's what the psalm is all about, right? It starts and it closes with that refrain. And so we want to jump in and enjoy the psalms because they have been given to us for that reason. You know, the psalms are the songbook of the Bible. These are the songs that Jesus sang when he was here on earth. These are the poetry that he recited. And so when we sing the psalms, when we say the psalms, when we preach the psalms, we are talking about the songs that Jesus sang. And so we are grateful for those. And there's all kinds in there, right? We're not going to do them all today because there's, 150 of them. But the psalms are great because they really help us tap into all different kinds of emotions and thoughts. And so no matter how you're feeling, no matter what's going on in your life, you could flip through the psalms and pretty soon, in just two or three chapters, you'll find something that you can resonate with. Something if you're lamenting, if you're going through a trial or a tribulation, if you're in a moment of praise, a moment of retribution, of guilt, of depression, anxiety, anger, outrage, whatever it is, that emotion is there in these songs of the Bible. And so that helps us to learn how to feel, right? By first helping us to know how to think, but then how to rightly put our emotions into practice so that we can feel rightly about God as well. And so that is what we are doing today. We are jumping into Psalm 103, which is really a song of pure praise. I mean, there really maybe is no greater psalm in the entire Psalter that is just pure praise. Because many times you'll see a psalm and you'll read it and it's blessing the Lord and thanking the Lord and at the same time cursing his enemies and wishing they were dead or asking God, why? Why is this happening to me? And then he goes back and forth. But in this psalm, Psalm 103, it's just pure praise from beginning to end. It is just goodness. And so, you know, we don't all the time feel like praising the Lord. Anybody here feel like praising God all the time? I don't see any hands up. Those online, I can't see you. So, yeah, we don't always feel like praising God. Our emotions are not always where we know our truth to be. And so that's why we have these psalms to help us stir our affections toward God. You know, what comes to our minds and then to our lips with ease is complaining, is grumbling, is excuse making. Those things come easy, right? Those things come natural to us in our fallen state. What doesn't come just easy and natural all of the time is praise. We don't always wake up with praise in our mouth. And so there's a something that we need to wrestle with today, because the title of our message is Prepare to Praise. If you're taking notes, I hope you are. Go ahead and write that down, Prepare to Praise. And you might say, well, Pastor John, why? I don't think we should have to prepare ourselves to praise, right? We should just always be ready. Well, that may be true in an idealistic sense, but the fact of the matter is we don't always feel like praising. And in fact, if you want to praise and worship the Lord well, what you really need to do is you need to prepare your heart and mind in advance at all times so that you will be in the place that you need to be to bless the Lord, to receive what he has for you. And so let's pray, and then we're going to jump into Psalm 103. Lord, thank you so much that no matter what season we are in, no matter what we are going through, no matter how our emotions go up and down, Lord, that your word calls us back to you every single time. Even though we are prone to wander, prone to leave, God, I pray that today that we would be called back to a heart of worship, Lord, that we would be prepared to praise. And God, I pray that we would do that in the way that we see here in your word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I need your help this morning. We're going to do something a little crazy. How many of you got this handout when you came in the door? All right, there's a couple sitting right here on this pew right up here up front. And so Psalm 103, 22 verses. It takes about 2 minutes to read this. And so this is a song that would be sung by the nation of Israel as they would gather together. They would sing this song of thanksgiving, and they would be led by a worship leader, and they would sing or say this poem or this song together. And so if you have a copy of this, or if you don't, I want you to do me a huge favor. Let's go ahead and stand up right where you are. Normally, we wouldn't read a passage this long together, but we do love to read God's word together. How many of you need one of these in your hand right now? Raise your hand. All right, we got them on the screen as well, but just in case we get a little behind there. And I don't need any speed readers this morning, all right? So we're all gonna say this and pray this together out loud. If you're at home, go ahead and open in your copy of the scriptures to Psalm 103, 22 verses. You are the choir this morning as we bless the Lord. So I'll start us out and then we'll all get in cadence and we will bless the Lord with his own word. Starting in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquity, who redeems your life from the pit, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He will not always chide. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Loudly, bless the Lord, O my soul. All right, you may be seated. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, sometimes you might say that when you are in a jam, you're all jammed up, you're all worked up, you're in a situation, and you're like, bless the Lord, O my soul. But that's not how the psalmist, King David, is saying this. No, he's reminding himself, and we see this right here from the very beginning. We're going to be covering the first five verses this morning in this message, Prepare to Praise. And we're going to see that the psalmist is stirring up his own soul. He's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself, Larry? Of course you do. We all talk to ourselves once in a while, and we need to make sure that we are talking to ourselves in the right way and not just listening to ourselves. And so he's talking to himself, saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and reminding himself that he needs to be blessing in this way because he wants to push away the negativity that comes so easy. Instead, he wants to remind himself from the deepest place of who he is that God is worthy to be blessed or to be praised. And so when we say bless the Lord, you might say, "Well, Pastor, what does it mean to bless the Lord? I mean, how could I bless God? Doesn't God bless us?" You bet he does. God blesses us in a way that a father blesses a child. God blesses us as someone who's in a position of greater power and authority and wealth blesses someone who is in a lesser position. God blesses us when we have a need, and God blesses us to come and meet that need. But God does not have any needs that you and I can meet for him. How do we bless God? Well, the Hebrew word here in this passage that is used time and time again is the word barak. And here in Psalm 103, it has the meaning to esteem greatly or to praise. And so you could say when we read bless the Lord, you could also say praise the Lord, right? Bless the Lord. How do we do that? When God blesses us, he sees our needs and responds to them. When we bless the Lord, we remember his greatness and respond to it with praise. That's how we praise the Lord. And so we want to make sure that we praise the Lord today and prepare to praise. And really, we see David bringing out 3 points here in the message today, in this passage today, in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. And he talks about the fact that God is worthy of praise. And then he moves on and talks about total praise. And then he moves on from there and talks about mindful praise. And so let's talk about the fact that as you are preparing your heart to worship, when you get into that place in your life, and you might even be there right now here in this moment, to say, you know what, I'm not where I used to be with the Lord. I don't know what's going on in my life and in my heart, but I'm just feeling flat or even fake or just kind of going through the motions and just trying to kind of make it through, and I'm wondering why I've been feeling this way for so long and so empty, and God's word is not blessing me, and I'm not feeling genuine in my worship, that you need to hear this, because I've needed to hear this. And I'll be honest with you, I hit this place too. There's nobody on planet Earth that just always wakes up 100% fired up and ready to worship. We go through seasons, we go through ups and downs, and that's why we need God's word to remind us how we are to worship him, praise him, bless him, and we got to prepare our hearts. And so the first thing we want to do is acknowledge that he is worthy of praise. Where do we get that? Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I want you to notice something here when we talk about the fact that God is worthy of our praise. You might say, "Well, Pastor, I know that. I know God is worthy of praise. I get that. I've been a Christian for a long time." But we don't always feel that, do we? Sometimes we have this knowledge of God and who he is, but it's kind of like white noise in the background because you've known it for so long, and you could fire off the doctrines about God and qualities about God and names of God and not really live in awe of the worthiness of God. And when you come to that place in your life, you need to be able to recognize that and say, "I'm in that place. Let me remind myself and acknowledge that God is worthy of all of my praise." When you read that bless the Lord, if you look down in your copy of the scriptures there, you will notice that the word Lord is capitalized, all caps throughout, L-O-R-D, all caps. Why is that? Well, that's something that's known as the tetragrammaton. That tetra means four, grammaton means letters, four letters, right? And so that is the tetragrammaton. So there's two ways that the scripture uses the word Lord. One is a general use that you see throughout scriptures that maybe it's just all lowercase, or maybe just the first word is capitalized, and that talks about general sense, about someone who is a lord or a master. But when you come across this word, all caps, Lord, it's a different word. It is the personal divine name of God. And so that is the word Yahweh. You know, when the scriptures were written, the Hebrew Bible did not contain any vowels. And so it was just vowelless. And eventually they circled back around and said, we better put these vowels in here so that people will know how to pronounce these words, because not everybody can pronounce these words the same. But then they came to Yahweh and they said, you know what, we're not so sure about putting the vowels in here, because we want people to understand that God's name is holy and powerful and awesome, and we don't want them to mispronounce it or to misuse or take in vain the name of God. And so there was hesitation on that. And what you need to know today is that basically how that's evolved to come into your Bible, to acknowledge the fact that this is Yahweh. The writers, the people that have come along and translated, have used this word, L-O-R-D, all caps, to indicate that this is the word Yahweh that is seen thousands of times in the scriptures. You'll notice one of the very first uses is when Moses is in the wilderness. And God cries out to him, calls out to him from a bush that's on fire. And he says, hey, Moses, guess what? You're going to be the guy that's going to go to Egypt, and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses is like, I'm a nobody. I can barely talk. I can barely say anything. How am I going to go tell Pharaoh and your people that you're going to set them free? Who should I tell them is sending me? And God says from the bush, you can call me Yahweh. What does that mean? You can tell them that I am has sending you. You can tell them that I will be, that I always will be, that I always have been, and there will never be a time when not I am who I am. And basically meaning there is no other God besides me. Who are you, God? What God are you? I am the God that exists. No other gods actually do exist besides this one God, Yahweh God. That's who I am. And so when we say bless the Lord, we're talking about blessing Yahweh, the divine personal God that actually does exist and that always will exist, and the only God that ever has. And he has given us his personal name. Bless the Lord, the one true God. That's who you worship, the God of the Bible. Then he goes on, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless what? His holy name. So the very first line of they're singing as they're gathering together to worship, and they're reminding themselves, what are we doing here? Why are we gathering in this place? Both for the Israelites and now for the church of Christ today. We are gathering to bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord. He is worthy of praise. Yahweh is worthy of praise. All that is within me, bless not just his name, but bless his holy name. Because he is pure and right and whole and complete and needs nothing, and yet he has revealed himself to us in many countless ways, through his words, through a burning bush in your life, when he came into your life and he interrupted the path that you were on, and he brought you into salvation in an awesome kind of a way. And there, in that beginning point of your salvation, you probably knelt and wept and received Christ, and your life was transformed, and you became this new creation, and you had this awesome, amazing experience with God where you realized that you had been transferred from a place of darkness and death and into a place of light and life eternal, and God was real and alive to you in a way that maybe right now you're not feeling. And you need to remember that he is worthy of your. And there are many other things in this life that we as worshipers worship. We are designed to worship, and so you will worship something or someone, but the only one who is worthy of our praise is God. So as you prepare to praise, you need to start out going, oh Lord, start talking to yourself, right? Your pastor is encouraging you to talk to yourself this week. When you wake up, before you say anything else, before you give power to something else in your life, a negative situation, worry, anxiety, doubt, whatever it may be, you have praise on your lips. You bless the Lord from the moment you get up. You set your mind in the right place and you acknowledge, God, you are worthy of praise. No matter what happens in my life this morning, this week, you are the only thing that is worthy of my worship. And I give my heart to you and I take away any power in my words that I would give to something else. Instead, I choose to praise you and I'm preparing my heart and my week for a week of worship. Let me tell you this, if you want to have a week of worship, you got to think about it and do it with intentionality, because if you wake up and just the first thing that's on your mind, you let that shoot out of your mouth and start your day and you worry, you're not going to wind up worshiping God that week. You're going to wind up worshiping your problems, yourself, those that you want to approve, fill in the blank. But you and I as believers got to remember He is worthy of praise. But then we go on to total praise, right? What is this total praise that we're talking about? Well, let's look and see. He says, bless the Lord, oh my. So we're still on verse 1, right? I hope you guys packed the lunch. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. That's where we're getting this, right? The psalmist is encouraging himself to bless the Lord at the soul level and not just at the skin level, right? He wants us to bless the Lord with all that's within me. And so we know that we as human beings are made in the image of God, body and soul and spirit, the soul being the seat of our emotions, our intellect, our will, the essence of who we are. And so he is going straight to the worthiness of God and at the same time saying, you know what? We need to praise the Lord, bless the Lord with the totality of who I am. Everything about my will, my intellect, my emotions need to be stirred up and brought into line to worship completely. God does not love half-hearted worship. God does not appreciate your worship when it's just a little add-on to your week, and then the rest of the week you're out worshiping the idols of the world and the idols of entertainment and the idols of contentment or laziness or whatever it is that we might struggle with. Instead, he wants all of us in our worship, every part of our being, no half-hearted worship. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's who I am. That's everything about who I am. And all, in case I missed anything, and all that is within me. Jesus says something similar, right? When he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, like every component that you could think of, pour it into the worship of God, and then you will be on the path to being prepared for true worship. Jesus calls the Pharisees out for this kind of behavior in Matthew chapter 5 when he's talking to them, and he gets straight to the point in chapter 15, verse 7. He says this, you hypocrites. And we know what a hypocrite is, right? Someone who acts one way on the outside, but really they're just being fake, and on the inside they don't feel that way, and behind closed doors they act a different way. And he says this, you hypocrites. I'm not talking to you, this is Jesus, right? Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And so he was talking to these Pharisees who were not giving total praise. They weren't blessing the Lord all in. No, instead they were doing it on the outside, these whitewashed tombs. But he was saying that on the inside, it's all just vanity. In vain do they worship me. So they were really good with their doctrine. They knew a lot about God. Except that they didn't know God, who was standing right in front of them. And so many times we can have a working knowledge of the scriptures and know about God and know doctrines and theology and have debates about Christianity and the church and be absolutely void of true worship. Do we need to have knowledge about God? We sure do, right? We already said he's worthy of our praise. He's the only one that is worthy. But God wants worship that comes from who we are, and he wants all of it. He doesn't want us to come to this place that we do come to sometimes, where if we're being honest, we're faking it. And it's flat. And it's going through the motions. And I'm not talking about just singing on a Sunday morning. I'm talking about a life of worship that's blessing the Lord with all of my soul, with all that I am. Full praise. 100% all in. Where are you holding back? What area of life are you holding back from God to say, Lord, I praise you in this area of my life and with this time in my life, but I'm holding back for my own glory in these other areas. I'm holding back in regards to my finances, in regards to my friendship, or in regards to my entertainment, or in regards to fill in the blank, whatever the Holy Spirit would lay on your heart this morning. Instead, he's saying, no. Worship of God, blessing the Lord, is everything. Everything is brought under his lordship. We come to him with completely open hands and hearts and say, it is all you and it's not about me. So is your heart in your worship, or is it just external? Then we come to mindful praise, right? So we've got the understanding that he is worthy of our praise, that he wants total praise, everything that's within you. But then in verse 2, he repeats himself and he says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And that's why we say mindful praise, because we are a forgetful people. And he reminds himself, and therefore he reminds you and I, not to forget the goodness of God. You ever forget stuff? Sure you do. I mean, it's embarrassing to say, but you know, as you get a little bit older, you have a thought, the light bulb comes on, and you're like, oh, I remember what I need to do. Boom, I'm a man on a mission. I'm heading to the kitchen, and I'm going to get, wait, what was I going to get? Come on, give me a hand raise here. Yeah. Then there's a, wait, do I ask and embarrass myself? Or do I go back and retrace my steps to where I was and go, ah, now I remember. So the psalmist is telling us not to forget the benefits of the Lord, because you and I are fallen human beings that do forget. And we forget for a number of reasons, don't we? We forget because of disuse, right? How many of you guys still remember your Algebra 2 from high school, and you can work out a problem for me right now? Let's go. One, two people. God bless you. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because of disuse. And so if you're not in the habit of using your math, you forget your math. If you're not in the habit of worship and you're wondering why you don't feel worshipful, because you've forgotten what it's like to worship and praise and bless the Lord. We also forget stuff because of overcrowding, right? You try to fit too much stuff in there. And once you got too much stuff in there, too much information is coming in, it pushes other information out. And you got to decide what's the most valuable. Where are you going to spend your time? Are you spending time in the Word, and is that coming in and stirring your affections to worship the Lord? Or are you giving yourself and your mind to too many other things? And no matter how good you may perceive them to be, they're not nearly as good as the Lord. And so let me encourage you to be bold enough this week to turn some of that stuff off and get back to praising the Lord. You know what? Sometimes you just unlearn things, right? You jettison things from your short-term memory because it was just only in your short-term memory. Let me encourage you this week to begin memorizing Psalm 103. And you could do it pretty quick, right? Especially these five verses that we're covering today. You could memorize that. But if you don't commit it to your long-term memory, if you just do it for a little while, it's like cramming for a test. You cram for a test. We've all did that, right? In high school or in college, you're cramming. You're up all night. You're studying. Boom. The next day, you'd get a pretty decent grade. But if you took that test a week later, you'd fail it, right? Because it was committed to short-term memory. But the things of the Lord need to go past our short-term memory and enter into long-term convictional places in our lives. You know why else we forget? Sometimes we blot things from our memories, right? Sometimes our mind blocks events that have happened to us in our past to protect us, but sometimes we block ourselves because in a secret moment or a moment of anger, outrage, fill in the blank, selfishness, we don't want to remember how good God is and that He's got something better for us. Instead, maybe you just want to give in that moment to whatever the lust of the flesh is, and we block that mindful praise and that understanding of God. But we as Christians are to be a thinking people and to be reminding ourselves. And so even God, He in the Ten Commandments gave us an institution of remembrance when He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Because God knew that we would get so caught up in our work and begin to worship it that He built into our week a day of rest to say, hey, rest and remember me. Because the work that I gave you, it's good because I gave it to you. But it's not me. I'm the only one worthy of praise, He says. And so that's why it's helpful for us to count our blessings when it comes to praise and worship of God. Mindful praise. We need to activate our minds in our worship. So is there affection stirred up in worship when we come to bless God and to praise Him? There better be. But it better not just be all emotionalism. We better be a people that have mindful praise, that do know about God and that are hungering to know more about God, and not just about Him, but to know Him more. And so we want to have mindful praise and to remember His benefits. And He says that in verse 2, forget not all His benefits. Let me back up and read verses 1 and 2 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And man, His benefits are many. But He gives us five that we're going to talk about right now. Five benefits of the Lord that we can see right here from these verses. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity. So what's a benefit of the Lord? Number one, He forgives us. He forgives all your iniquity. So David is calling out to God, and iniquity has this idea behind it that it's an intentional sin, right? It's not like an oops moment that you had, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Sorry, God. Now, iniquity is when you go out of your way and you intentionally do something that you know God does not want you to do. It's an iniquity against God. And guess what? He loves you so much. Man, He forgave all of your iniquities. And David is very familiar with this because David made an intentional decision to enter into a relationship with a woman who was not his wife. In fact, she was another man's wife. And great consequences came upon him because of that, and he became a broken-hearted man. Here was a man who was called a man after God's own heart, and then he was broken-hearted because he gave himself to this iniquity. But then he experienced the amazing forgiveness of God, where he could weep and be repentant and broken, and then at the end of that time receive and really feel and understand that God did truly forgive him, that he remembered his sin no more. And this is where it all starts, right? I think there's something significant about the order that you see there, the blessings of the Lord. Number one, he forgives us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, know that God is still in the forgiving business, and he made that forgiveness possible for King David as he looked forward to the Messiah that was to come. He was writing this and Jesus had not come yet, but he knew that the Messiah was going to come and provide this forgiveness. And now you and I have the blessing and the benefit of looking back into history and going, Jesus has come. That forgiveness, we can understand it now even more in a fuller way, and it's still available to you today if you're here today with guilt and shame and condemnation. Just know that there is none of that in Christ Jesus. You can be forgiven by calling out to God, letting him know that he is worthy and he is holy and you are not, and that you need to have your sins forgiven. What is another blessing of the Lord, or another benefit of the Lord? He heals us. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Now, commentators are divided on this about whether or not he's talking about spiritual healing or physical healing. But we understand this. God does both, right? God is not held powerless, and God can do whatever he chooses to do. He makes people whole on the inside and the outside. And so when we say that he heals all of our diseases, we know that God provides healing for his people. You know, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the prophet is talking, and he's talking to Israel, and they're not in a good place spiritually, and he compares them to a leper. And he says, why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. You and I need healing at the soul level. Yes, you and I live in a world with sickness and disease that is a reality. And so we see the miracle of healing every single day in our lives in a number of ways. One, just physically speaking, in the natural. You cut yourself, you hurt yourself, you break a bone. It's miraculous. If you think about it, we don't think about it as much as we should. But the fact that your body has the power to heal itself is a blessing from God. Going all the way back to creation in the garden, where our bodies were more than we can understand right now here in this moment, but pain, struggle, all of that was not there because there was 100% health and healing. We also now have the blessing of medical healing. So not only do we have natural healing that comes in our bodies that heal things like cuts and broken bones, but we also have the help of medicine, and that is something that God has blessed us with here in this country, and we appreciate that. We don't rely on that 100% because we realize that regardless of the medical help that we get, we still live in a fallen world. But man, do we appreciate those that are in the medical field and the progress that has been made in that. But we also know that there's additional healing. Besides those two things, we know that there's supernatural healing, right? There's some instances where doctors would say, you are sick and there is no chance of you getting better. And then God's people pray. And somebody goes back to that doctor and they say, hey, time for my next exam and say, hey, a miracle, we can't find what's happened to you. Does God still heal people today? Absolutely. God heals people today. And we trust God for healing here at this church. Does God heal every time? Not in the way that we want, right? But we still trust God. When we pray and say, God, would you heal my child? God, would you heal my parent? God, would you heal me? God, would you heal my friend? We trust that you can provide that healing, and he definitely can. But God, if you, in your sovereignty and in your knowledge and your wisdom, decide not to heal this person now, Lord, we still trust you. And that brings us to a last kind of healing, which is heavenly healing, right? Because we're not counting on living eternally here in this broken planet. No, God has already healed us completely at the point of your salvation. You're already got a position in Christ, and you already are healed. Your just body just doesn't know it yet. But when you come into the presence of God, Revelation tells us this, that there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more tears, no more crying, right? All that stuff's going to be wiped away in the presence of God. And so he heals all of our diseases on the outside, and God can heal you on the inside, spiritually, emotionally. That thing that's happened to you, he can renew you and make it right and make it better. That hurt that you're carrying around, that pain that you have, that betrayal that you felt, that you can feel it physically as well, God can heal you of that. How else? He redeems us from the pit. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. What does God do? What is one of the blessings of God? He redeems our life from the pit. How many of you guys remember what it's like to be in the pit? I do. How many of you guys remember the story? We've talked about this several times here lately, but the story of the prodigal son. He wound up in a pit, didn't he? There were two sons, actually. One son took off, and he wound up in a pit of unrighteousness. And eventually, he came to the end of himself, and he came back, and he was totally exonerated, right? Totally redeemed. He wanted to come back just as a servant, but his dad wasn't going to have any of that. He was redeeming him completely. His brother was in a pit of self-righteousness, right? Which sometimes can be even worse because you're totally blind to your self-righteousness. At least in the pit of unrighteousness, you realize this is leading to death and destruction. I got to get out of here. This is going nowhere quick. But self-righteousness, you can go throughout that your entire life and think pretty highly of yourself and pretty lowly of everyone else. That's a big warning sign for self-righteousness. True righteousness should bring humility and humbleness and brokenness for the trespasses of other people. So if you're becoming angry at other people for them not being as good as you, you might want to check which pit you are in. He redeems us from the pit. What's another blessing of the Lord? You know, God blesses us so much, and that's why we bless him in return. Another one is this: he crowns us with love and mercy. You know, so this crowning is synonymous with a person's honor or standing. A crown says something, doesn't it? Just like when this prodigal son came back home, he wasn't just a servant. His father blessed him. And what did he do? He put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back. What was that doing? That was sending a signal to everybody in the household that he is restored, that I am crowning him with my steadfast love. It's not just fly by night. He's got to earn my love back now. You really messed up. But he welcomes us back completely and blesses us in that way. He crowns us with love and mercy. That's the position that we have in the Lord. What else? He satisfies us with good, so we are good. Let's read it. Verse 5, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And so here's what they're singing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The benefit of forgiveness of my iniquity, the benefit of healing of my diseases, the benefit of a redeemed life brought out of the pit, the benefit of being crowned with steadfast love and mercy, the benefits of being satisfied with God's goodness so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. You know, eagles have a way of renewing themselves. Eagles are, at least annually, and some say throughout the year, are in a molting process where, as they are animals that are amazing, these birds of prey, I mean, they are the king of the mountain, right? I mean, they soar to heights. They're majestic. Part of the majesticness is in their wingspan and in their feathers. But because of their lifestyle, they're constantly messing those things up, and they're getting ruffled and they're getting old. But those things will purge themselves out, and they'll be renewed so that their coat or their feathers stay looking majestic and they stay looking young for a pretty long time. These birds live a really long time. And so one of God's blessings is constant renewal. He satisfies us with good so that we are renewed. Get this. God satisfies you with good stuff. Now, we seek satisfaction in bad stuff. We seek renewal in front of a TV. But does that truly renew you? I just need a break. You never come away from that thing, fill in the blank, going, thank you, Lord. That show just really renewed my soul. Now, I'm not beating up on television, all right? I watch television. But I'm not looking to it going, this is going to rejuvenate me. Chances are it's going to do the opposite. And so those feathers aren't going to fall out and be replaced by new ones when you're holding on to all the bad habits and places that you go to and you seek out for renewal. Instead, when you let God push those things out and replace them with his goodness, the things that are from him and of him, then you will be renewed. Then you'll be refreshed. And you can always tell when you're in the presence of someone who's been spending time with God. Because there's a youthfulness, no matter what their age, there's just a youthfulness and a gleam in Evelyn's eyes because you know that she's been with Jesus. And we just know that we can always have that renewal. It's one of the blessings of the Lord. Prepare to praise this week. Acknowledge that he's majestic and worthy of your praise. Decide ahead of time to give him total praise. Don't hold anything back. And have mindful praise. That means count your blessings this week, the ones that we've already listed off, but make a list tonight of all the ways that God has blessed. You know, studies show that making a list of thankfulness actually puts you in a better mood and actually helps fight off depression and anxiety. That's a proven fact. That's a God thing. And so make a list tonight and count your blessings. Name them one by one, right? Count your many blessings and see what God has done. He's done a lot of stuff in you and for you. And when you do that, you'll be prepared to praise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Psalms, for your word, for these songs that we get to sing this week, that we get to memorize, commit to memory so that we don't forget how amazing you are. God, make us better worshipers, better blessers this week. God, we thank you for all of the blessings you have given us. And Lord, this week, we with intentionality bless you with all of our soul. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.